Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
As always, it is great to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is a weird team. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the Baltimore game. I watched Baltimore. They do nothing for a long period of time, and then all of a sudden a spurt. Minnesota, they do nothing for a long period of time, and then suddenly a spurt. I can't figure them out.
They are, simply put, it's taking them far longer to figure out what their opponent is doing and what they can do to be successful in a game than it's taking their opponent. And at the same time, what you see in the NFL, and this has been true for the better part of two decades now, getting up on a team big, it really is the surest way to guarantee another team going on a similar run.
Right.
What you have is it's conflicting philosophies. When you're down 29 to rip, you're probably going to open things up offensively. You're going to take more risks. You're going to call things that are more immediate, and you're not concerned about field position, for example, when you're down by that much. So you're going to let it rip a bit. At the same time, the defense is going to play the clock more so than the opponent. They're going to defend the sidelines, they're going to defend deep stuff, and they're going to allow stuff to be completed underneath. So really what they're doing is trying to sacrifice as much time as they can, run the clock as much as they can, until the other team gets inside the 20, and then you're tightening up on defense probably a lot more. Field goals aren't getting you back in a 29-0 game, especially if it takes you 5 minutes to get there. So you're conceding points. They're going to come back. The key difference for the Steelers in the two big epic but short comebacks that they've had lately against the Chargers and against the Vikings on Thursday was takeaways. Their defense was able to get the ball back and continue kind of marching down the field. So they were able to increase their snap count in the second half. Obviously, that's not Minnesota's intention. They're playing very conservatively on offense. They're going to throw the ball, but it's not going – they're really not going to take risks, because the last thing they want to do is turn the ball over. And if it wasn't for a great play by Cam Hayward against the Chargers, they didn't get a takeaway in that game. So the defense made the plays happen after, you know, flat out not showing up in the first half against Minnesota. That was legitimately one of the worst defensive performances I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that includes 2 weeks ago against Cincinnati when they were down 34-3 at halftime. So you're looking at a team that is historically bad for a good chunk of the game. And then they're able to make a play or two and give their offense a chance while they're in, you know, I don't give a bleep mode and are chucking the ball downfield and trying to make something happen. So it's not like it's good football. It's not like the Steelers are coming back to where they should have been to begin with. They put themselves into that spot. They got beat, you know, straight up by an opponent that I think it's fair to say is probably a little bit better than the Steelers are. Not a whole lot, but Minnesota isn't a terrible team. Mm-hmm. I hated this game for them in terms of, you got to play the Ravens, and then 3 days later, you got to travel to a team that you don't play against very often. That's tough. You know, I didn't think this was going to be a win anyway, and it certainly looked like it for a half. Then they got, you know, a little bit more composed, and they were able to take it to the Vikings a little bit more. But in an even situation, they probably don't do that. It's just that's the way teams that are nursing a big lead are going to play. And one play got away from them, and that allowed Pittsburgh to you know, have a shot there at the end. So we're not seeing good play from them overall. It's at best inconsistent, and they've got a lot of things they need to fix. If they have any prayer of a playoff berth, which hasn't really felt like it's been a true thing for the last couple weeks, but their division, fortunately, doesn't seem to be all that good. If they want to have any shot of that, they probably have to win 3 or 4 and all of them against AFC teams. And I don't think they're going to do that. Tennessee's a tough haul. Kansas City's a tough haul. Who knows what Baltimore and Cleveland are going to be. That's hard. So I don't know. I mean, it's really going to be up in the air for them. But in a lot of ways, it's now a 4-game season. I don't think any team in the AFC North is going to win 4 straight now. So theoretically, the division's still up in the air.
How do you view the three prime rookies, Harris, Freiermuth, and Green?
It's interesting. Those three are going to be, I think, more connected on a similar plane than any other first three picks that the Steelers have made probably in a while. And the reason I say that is because they were in very, very narrow windows. They were the player the team absolutely had to get. And in my opinion, they had to take them where they took them. There was a lot of talk. Freiermuth is probably the one I would start with, because there was a lot of talk that he probably wasn't worth a second round pick. I wasn't sure of that, just really from more of a blocking perspective. If he's going to be somebody that needs time to develop as a blocker, I wanted to see probably a bit more out of him as a receiver. He's proved that wrong. I think he's exceeded expectations in regards to a receiver. His blocking isn't great. It's not terrible, though. That's great for a rookie. So you're really happy with that. You look above, you know, probably standard expectation for your second round pick. And the reason I go with him first is because you have to look at the running back almost as this is a priority free agent for us. This guy is, from Mike Tomlin's vantage point, from Kevin Colbert's perspective, not mine necessarily, he is the guy who does everything that we needed somebody to do last year, and maybe our season finishes better. If we had that last year, we would have been better off. That's a fair statement. So it's almost like they were drafting him a year late, but you know, for reasons that make sense. They absolutely needed a running back. And unfortunately, they're in such a position that you can't look at the position above the player with a running back. It's really hard to do that because so many of them seem to have success from other rounds. I have a problem with that, even though I tend to agree with it, because they have a running back's room full of guys that contradict the theory that you can just get a running back later. That's why they needed Najee Harris. It's great to see James Conner having the success that he's having, but one, they saw that player in 2018. This is not new James Conner. This is James Conner. They've seen it. He's just been healthy and playing in a dynamic offense. You know, he's a good football player. I don't think anybody denied that. It's a question of whether or not he's going to stay healthy. Now, I don't know if you saw it, but he got hurt on the last play of the game last night.
Right.
Whatever it is that Kyler Murray was trying to do, I'm not sure. Talk about a team that needs to go over their 2 minute stuff. It looks to me like Arizona hadn't discussed it all year.
That's okay. ESPN wasn't sure what they were doing either, so that's all right.
They told you all about it.
That's another story into itself. All right.
Yeah, we should get into that. There's been some good ones. I've had a lot of conversations with people about that. It really seems to be kind of hitting ahead with a lot of people.
Yeah.
But as far as the Steelers running back position goes, they needed Harris to come in and take those tough carries. You know, nobody in a reasonable mind, nobody could have thought Najee Harris was going to go for 5 yards a pop this year. There's no way that was going to happen. He was going to have tough sledding all season long, and that's exactly why they needed him. So in a way, he was almost like a sacrificial lamb. But my line of thinking is now you had to fill a running back because you needed a running back. Your tight ends group now has you've bolstered this because the Steelers running backs and tight ends last season were legitimately two of the worst position groups in all of the NFL.
That's right.
They were that bad. Okay. Nobody seems to recognize that. That's as much of the reason why they went after those positions in the first two rounds. And what this comes down to with Steelers fans usually is, why didn't you draft Creed Humphrey? Because now Pro Football Focus says that Creed Humphrey is the best center in the game. All right, well, first off, Steve, I'm sure you've talked to somebody about this at some point. There is a weird thing with left-handed centers across all levels.
Yeah.
They don't have left-handers under center. They just don't do that.
They don't, and that's one of the reasons why. Now, it's not this year, but you notice Belichick always has a left-footed punter.
Yep.
Because the spin of the ball is different, and the same thing with a quarterback trying to get the spin of a ball with a left-handed center is different.
I get that. I do get that. Here's my question. Why did Oklahoma play him at center? He's 6'5", 300. Seems like he could handle a guard's workload, if not a tackle even.
You know what I'm seeing as a pattern that's happened in college football, Neil? Usually you'll take your best offensive lineman and you're going to put him at center. And I've seen several teams do that where a guy was playing guard and suddenly the next year he's the center. I remember Ohio State doing that, for example, with Billy Price. Right? And and I've seen this over and over again, where I've seen teams take a guy that was an outstanding guard and they made him a center the next year, like the keystone guy. I think that's a college thing more than anything else.
And usually what you would see naturally is a college guard getting moved to center in the NFL. But I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. The kid from Michigan a couple years ago, he played center in college. He's a guard with the Saints now.
Yeah.
And he's doing all right. It just seems like there's a much closer connection between guard and center now than there ever has been.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
On one hand, I'll say this. I get the rotation issue that you have with a lefty snapping the ball. But at the same time, if you're the Steelers, were you super excited about your guard position? You know, is Creed Humphrey not a guard?
Right.
Could he not play guard at that level?
Right.
A lot of things happened there. But what we know, if we look back on it, what we're going to see is, for whatever reason, I think it's because he's a lefty, but for whatever reason, the Steelers all but ignored Creed Humphrey.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a team in the NFL that needed a center more than the Steelers did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, Pouncey was obviously going to retire. He didn't take too long into the offseason to announce his retirement. So Kendrick Green coming in the third round, one manner of thinking is another guy, by the way, who went from guard to center, exactly as you pointed out earlier.
Exactly.
So were they that enamored with Kendrick Green? Did they really like Kendrick Green, or was Kendrick Green kind of the odd man out of a draft that absolutely had to walk away with starting level running back and a starting level tight end? I don't know, but this is going to be the question that goes on, and I think we're not really going to have the next dimension of the answer until after the offseason. Are they going to stick with Kendrick Green at center? There's nothing that says you have to.
No.
I don't, Steelers fans seem to think that Kendrick Green was drafted and signed a 12-year contract. You know, the NFL doesn't work like that. You don't need to draft anybody that has to play at that spot for 12 years, okay? It's like a three-year at most league.
Right.
You know, Colbert and Tomlin are not coaching 12 years down the line. They never have. So they're not going to now. Certainly not because of Kendrick Green. So I don't know what they're going to do at center. I know that they're not getting good play from their center right now. I think it's fair that there aren't many third-round draft picks that start basically every snap for a team. Green hasn't done a whole lot of positive things.
Nope.
So I don't know if they're sold on him long-term.
Well,
but I also think that he is probably the guy that they had to take when they took him and they had to play him. So it's a weird set of circumstances for the Steelers, and that was really their entire offseason.
Well, if you were going to keep a guy because that's where he started his career, Larry Brown never would have played tackle. He'd been a tight end the entire time. You know, people forget he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Vikings.
Yeah.
All right, they got Tennessee this week. What do you like about the matchup, Neil? And, Neil, what don't you like about the matchup?
I don't like many things about the matchup. You know, here's the thing. I find, I'm sure you're going to like this, and a Penn State audience will enjoy it as well. I find Mike Vrabel to be kind of boorish, obnoxious. He's going to get himself into trouble doing something at some point.
Yeah.
It doesn't totally bother me, but he's the kind of guy that if a Titans team got really good over 3 years, like they won a Super Bowl and they were in contention for two others, he would be hated.
He would be
impossible
to live with.
Yeah, he's just not a real likable guy, I don't think. But part of that is I have to admire the job that he's done with this team. I'll be honest with you. I said at the beginning of the year, if you want to bet money on any team regressing to a high level this season, it's the Tennessee Titans. And that's mostly because last year, Vrabel did next to nothing to fix that defense after Dean Pease retired. They were a horrible defensive team. They were embarrassing, especially toward the end of the year. He didn't do anything to fix that. He just went out and bought Bud Dupree, grossly overpaid for Bud Dupree. As much as I like Bud Dupree, that's a markup if I've ever seen one.
Yep.
You know, he's not going to fix anything for you. I had no faith in that team whatsoever. And on top of that, with Mike Smith getting hired by the Falcons, you had Todd Downing replacing him. Todd Downing has not been successful as an offensive coordinator in the NFL at all. I mean, he was with Del Rio and the Raiders, and they fired Del Rio pretty quickly after that season ended. That was his right. one job doing it. Arthur Smith, I think I called him Mike Smith earlier.
Arthur Smith.
Was the offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith was a genius. Great coordinator. He did a great job with what they had offensively. And he got a head coaching job largely on the steam of getting a run-first offense to be that productive and that difficult to play against. Todd Downing is not Arthur Smith. No. I mean, it's just not going to happen. Yet Titans are the third seed with the same record as the two seeds ahead of them right now, and they're playing really good football. And that came after Derrick Henry got hurt
right.
for an extended period of time. They might get Henry back. That might be the only team that can beat the Patriots or the Chiefs in the AFC. Right. Steelers are not the Patriots and the Chiefs. I don't think the Titans are going to struggle a whole lot. There is something to be said about the style of these two teams, and this is kind of where Vrabel comes in. He's got his team playing some pretty good defensive football right now.
Yeah.
Granted, it was the best time in the world to play a Jaguars team, and that's quite a bit last week. But they destroyed that team.
Right.
They utterly destroyed that team, and he had to have taken his foot off the gas because they could have scored way more than 20 points.
But Jacksonville's really well coached. Just ask him.
Yeah, exactly.
Just ask him.
That guy still has a job. That's not going to end well. I don't know what they're thinking there, but you already spent that money.
You're only spending more at this point. Exactly. But they destroyed that team last week. I mean, it was bad.
Titans are a good team. I really didn't think that they would be, but they're playing good football, and that's not a team the Steelers want to play right now.
Look, I know Tannehill was a first-round pick by Miami, and he had been a wide receiver at Texas A&M, and they moved him to quarterback late in his career, and he ends up being a first-round pick. Why has he had success as an NFL quarterback? He's not awesome and incredible. He's not going to go to the Hall of Fame or anything like that, but why has he been good?
It's impossible, I think, to boil it down very simply, but I think one of the biggest things is he can throw the ball deep, and they've done a great job coaching to his strengths. And that's why you've seen the Titans have the success that they've had.
That's a good point.
By and large, not entirely, but again, I'll point to Arthur Smith. I think he did a great job with them. They set a good blueprint in place other teams just don't seem to do this very well. And this is why Matt Nagy, here's another one, he's not going to be employed beyond week 18, if not earlier. That's a team that doesn't seem to understand how to set its quarterback up for a high level of success, or at the very least, it waited way too long to figure that out with the guy that they just drafted.
Right.
What Tennessee has done really is just take Ryan Tannehill and let him be Ryan Tannehill. Don't try to do more with that. Don't try to be fancy. Don't try to mix things up too much. They have enough creativity within their offense, and they're smart enough to do the things that they can do well and not variate from that. And really what that means too is, I know this is a crazy notion today, they're going to run the football, because they can run the football well,
right.
And they can throw off of it. So you're setting up a lot of your offense by being successful running the ball. Problem with running the ball, it isn't overall running the ball. It's when you're not successful, and you can be unsuccessful running the ball a lot easier than you can being unsuccessful passing the ball because you don't have the upside to it. They can consistently make plays in their running game to set up the passing game. And Tannehill can hit the ball deep down the field. That makes it really hard to crowd the box. And Henry can run wild. He's good enough to be able to see what's there. He's strong enough to drag for extra yards and pick up first down. They've consistently been able to do that. Now, without Henry, Tannehill's had to shoulder a lot more of the burden. A.J. Brown's been hurt as well.
Right.
They haven't had the toughest time of things, but they're still scheming along the same lines. They're good enough to make Tannehill enough to be able to win the game. And they finally found the ability to play defense fairly consistently, at least.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.